You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
And I'll give one last point to kind of put a fine bow on this, right? We I have this framework in the book I call compassion pairing, where we go like, where basically you say, who's the more powerful, who's the more vulnerable, and you kind of pair people together, right? So you say with the woman, who's the more powerful, the woman, who's the more vulnerable, the child in the womb. Therefore, we ascribe more compassion to the child in the womb. That's a pro-life perspective. We're not saying the woman has no vulnerability, and we're not saying the child has no power, but we're saying that the child has less power than the woman, right? And then we do that. If you do a compassion pairing between the rapist and the baby who's conceived as a result of rape, and you say, who's the more powerful, the rapist, who's the more vulnerable, the baby that's conceived having a result, well, actually, who gets killed in the case of abortion? The baby. How does that make sense? When the baby's wait, so we're having more compassion for the rapist because the rapist doesn't get killed, but the baby gets killed. You see? So you end up walking yourself down a path where you actually extend the power of the rapist and actually kind of model that out that way. And so my view is very, very clearly that, you know, you have to look at it through that perspective. So the circumstances of a child's conception and birth determine its humanity and worth. And if you say yes, then you can line yourself up with all kinds of folk, right, who you don't want to be lined up with. But if you say no, then what that means is that even in the situation of rape, you protect the child in the womb, because that child, the circumstances of their conception and birth does not determine their humanity and worth. They're created in the image of God, Imago Dei, regardless of how they're conceived. And I believe that when we act that way, we're most like God. And again, most people in society, that's how they think. Exactly like that. I just say extend it to this issue as well.
Well, I'm sure that you use the power of story when you come in and speak like you're going to on Friday. And I remember this story. This is a good one. You probably already have it in your file, but maybe not. This lady, she had venereal disease, and she had 9 children. And she was told she should have an abortion. And she said, no, I don't think so. And she had that child, and that child turned out to be Mozart.
Yes, I heard that story. Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's amazing.
You know, one of our mothers, not too long ago, she was raped, and everybody around her was telling her she needed to have an abortion. Mm-hmm. And she said, why would I do that? If they only knew what it would do to me if I aborted my baby, mm-hmm. I would be suicidal. And so she said, that baby did nothing to me. It was the guy who raped me. And she said just exactly what Roland's talking about. And now that little guy is running around. He's about 3 years old. And, you know, she's so grateful. She didn't listen to everybody, and she had that baby.
Well, you know, I think God gets a kick. He takes the foolish things of this world to confound those that are wise, including those in leadership, even in Christian circles. He'll go, who's that guy, you know, coming in here? It's like you're going to a restaurant, and there's some bum sitting over the corner. Well, it turns out the bum is the billionaire in the room, you know? And so mankind, you know, and God gets a kick. Even in Christian circles, you know, you'll find somebody who's, well, look at D.L. Moody. The guy had no degree, no education, and went out and won hundreds of thousands of people to the Lord. So, you know, you never know where God's, and God seems to get a kick out of that, you know?
Well, he does. He really does. And, you know, I think that one of the other things here, and this is, I think, one of the biggest deceptions about this whole issue, is that the premise of an abortion is that nothing good can come from this child. And it's not even 50-50. Like, you are certain that nothing good can come from this child. In other words, you know with certainty there's nothing good that can come for this child, for you, for society, and you're making that certain thing. Who knows that? I mean, who actually knows that? Who for certain? You don't actually. You don't know that what good can come from the child. And so that's why that decision is not in our hand, if you will, because only God orders the path of man.
Hey, look, where was Jesus born? He was homeless, wasn't he? The guy was homeless. And then the angel said, hey, you, not only are you homeless, but you've got to go over into this other country till we get rid of the child's enemy, you know? And then the...
It's an amazing thing. So, yeah, anybody can count the number of apple seeds in an apple, but only God knows the number of apples in a single seed.
And you also that's right. And you also brought up, you said people look like me, meaning the color of your skin. You got a tan.
Yes.
And How stupid is that? That people are prejudiced against people
because they have a permanent one.
I'll never get that. You know, I'll never get that. But anyway, but the bad news is that lady, the Roe versus Wade lady, who pushed that through, had a hatred for people of color. And as I know, I've been told that more people of color have aborted babies than the white folks. People wake up, you know?
Yeah. It's a pretty amazing thing, you know, as an African-American, it's one of the reasons why, you know, in my view, I mean, one of the many, but that it's so abhorrent because as a black person, I tell other black people, it's like, how can you line up with this? Again, the notion behind abortion is that nothing good will come from this child. So if black children are aborted at a higher rate, right? Black women are roughly that are childbearing age are roughly 3% of the population, right? And have like 30 to 40% of the abortions. And society supports that. So really what that's sort of saying, and I'm trying to stop it, right? So society is basically saying your children are a net negative on society compared to other children. I mean, isn't that the height of racism? I mean, isn't that the height of what we've like been marching? Wait, our kids are a net negative compared to other children. Well, you line yourself up with the Klan, you line yourself all kinds of folks. And so it's really a remarkable thing that this narrative has been sown, particularly in the black community and frankly, by a lot of black prominent leaders, you know, and politicians and people that, you know, like the major folks out there are supporting abortion as being, quote, empowering for black folks. When the reality is the premise behind it is that nothing good will come from that child. It's better off dead. And if there's a specific demographic where more of those children are killed structurally, systemically than any other, then you're actually saying that this demographic of folk are a net negative compared to another demographic of folk. And for me, that's been one of the reasons I'm very, very passionate about this, because, you know, I think that black people are creating the image of God just like everybody else.
Hold on a second. Frankly, I've been to Israel, and you're a very light-skinned, dark man. Probably, Jesus probably had about the same color skin you have, you know? I mean, that's the truth. If you've ever been a Nazarene, that's the way they look. I mean, you know, people are made. Well, you know, people worship a Jew on Sunday and then hate Jews on Monday. What the heck? I had a friend of mine, very wealthy in upstate New York. His mother, I'm very, you know, what do you call it? You know, the people that have, they all have the fancy schmancy homes when they're young and everything's right. Yeah. She hated Jews. 2 years before she died of cancer, she found out she was half Jew. I mean, what is with people? I mean, so I wanted to ask you this, a little aside here. So Einstein, that he taught at Princeton where you and Yvette went, right?
He was at the Center for Advanced Studies, I think it was, or something like that.
He's the guy that said, everybody wants to acquire all this junk. And he said, all you really need is a comb and a toothbrush. And he said, and matter of fact, you really don't need the comb. But when you were at Princeton, did you sit at the table where he etched his name into the table in the pub?
No, I don't think that I did.
You should go there.
I don't think that I did.
I'm surprised
His legacy is definitely there. And classrooms are still there. There's Makash, which is, I think, from like the 1800s or something. That was there. You know, there's lots of places where he and a bunch of very notables in American history and science kind of walk the hall. So it's a pretty old place. I think it's like 1746. I think it was when Princeton was founded, or somewhere around there. So kind of an interesting place to be.
Are you going to bring Yvette with you this weekend, or is she busy doing other stuff?
Yeah, I can't keep her out of Florida. Going to Florida, she'll elbow me in the throat to go with me. So I protect my throat. She loves, and if there's beach anywhere in like Vera Beach or Palm, like any beaches, she's like, oh yes, I'm coming with you on this one.
Well, you're gonna like it here. It's one of the last small towns, one of the last small seaside villages. We're trying to keep it that way, but I will tell you this: it's a great place to invest now because you will not lose. You know. Well, listen. So I want to tell you, it's been great. I this book is an important book. I mean, I don't know all books that have been written on abortion, but. Did you ever read that? But I just like this. The alternative to abortion is like, ooh, it made me immediately. I felt within my spirit, oh, this is good. Because we need to have those answers when we're speaking, you know. And by the way, did you ever have that? Did you ever meet that young lady? She was on my show a number of times, probably 25 years ago, but she was aborted, but they pulled her out and the baby, the doctor wasn't there. So, she's from like Tennessee or something or up that way. She's got cerebral palsy because of the way they pulled her out, but, you know.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure. There's several that have survived abortion. The one I was thinking was, I think Melissa Olden, I think it is.
That's the name I'm very familiar with.
Yeah, but there have been a number who survived,
abortion
miraculously and are great advocates. Great advocates for life. So I think if people, take a look at the book, I'm fairly confident it's something that you've never read before, but it really talks about, if you want to know the difference between being pro-life and being pro-abundant life and why as Christians we are called to be pro-abundant life, a little bit of the punchline: Jesus wasn't pro-life, he was pro-abundant life. And I talk about that quite a bit and tell you why, and that's what I'm going to talk about on Friday, to unpack that a bit more and how that's so important in terms of supporting the amazing work that Bonnie is and her team are doing, and why if the church is pro-abundant life, then the pregnancy centers get the support that they need, not just to save babies, but to make disciples for Jesus Christ, which is the call that we have in Christ, is to make disciples and to look at every good work that we do: water for the thirsty, food for the hungry, clothes for the naked, homes for the homeless. We see all those things through a discipleship lens, but compassion for the pregnant, most folks see that through a political lens, and that's actually hurt us in terms of doing what we're supposed to do. And frankly, it's hurt us in terms of even saving the lives of those in the womb. So that's what the book's about. Walks through that.
Well, Roland C. Warren, of course, an accomplished author and serves as president and CEO of CareNet, and he will be in town. There are still some tickets available for the dinner on Friday night. Get in touch with CareNet if you would like to purchase one of those tickets and support life. Yeah, life. And his book is The Alternative to Abortion, Why We Must Be Pro-Abundant Life. And is there anything that I've been amiss in asking you today, sir?
No. You've been very thorough.
Okay. Well, look, I look forward to meeting you. I hope I get to meet Yvette, too. And, strong man, strong wife, right?
That's right. We're a team.
Oh, sorry, say strong wife, strong man.
Yeah, they both got to be strong, right?
Yes,
we're equally yoked.
Well, women are a great gift. Well, listen, thank you so much, and God bless you.
Thank you.
And I'll see you Friday night.
Okay, blessings. See you.
Thanks,
see you, Bonnie.
Roland.
Take
Thanks,
care.
Roland.
Bye.
Looking forward to seeing you.
Tune in again Monday at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care, with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
Good Country Homestyle Cooking is found at Crossroads Restaurant, your place for beef and pork roast, chicken and dumplings, fried turkey breast with lots of veggies and salad bar. Family owned and operated since 1991, Crossroads Restaurant is open 5:30 to 2:30, Monday through Saturday, and Sunday 7 to 2:30. Takeout orders available. Crossroads Restaurant, a corporate underwriter of WCNO, located on Highway 70 at Posey's Corner, available at 863-763-8333. You won't be disappointed.
From above, I've been down to the river. I ain't the same, a prodigal return. I've worn shackles and chains.
but I've been freed and forgiven.